Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our series that we began last week on the book of Hebrews. And to me, guys, as I said last week, Hebrews is a declarative and revealing book in so many ways. And I think that taking a magnified look through its chapters is going to be rewarding for all of us. So, friends, we're glad you're with us. And to get us underway today, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We did start out with a grand...
First lesson.
Yes, we did. And I just love this book. I love the book of Hebrews. It is just the high mark, I think, in the New Testament as far as the way it portrays Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's accomplished for us and what that means to us as believers, as we walk in faith. And, you know, we've talked about faith, and this is a book about faith. And faith is meaningless apart from Jesus.
Yes.
And that's why this book really lifts the person of Jesus high. And as we see him for who he is, then our faith will take shape. As we'll learn later in this book, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Yeah. Without him, faith is totally meaningless. And we start that high mark concerning Jesus right out of the chute, right in chapter 1. The first four verses we talked about last week is really the whole book of Hebrews. The rest of the book really explains what the writer was saying, the fact that God is speaking to us today through Jesus Christ. So if God has sent Jesus, I mean, certainly in the Old Testament, he sent prophets. He spoke to the people through prophets. Their word was reliable. Their word was authoritative. He even used angels to deliver his messages to various people. And that word was binding on the folks. And if that was the case, how much more is the word that is being delivered to us today by Jesus Christ? And that's what the writer is saying. Listen to Jesus. And that's our lesson today. Listen to him. So we're going to start in verse 5 of chapter 1, and we're going to go all the way through verse 4 of chapter 2. This is one unit of thought, and it's really, really powerful how the writer put this together. Boy, he was a literary genius as far as constructing his argument. So he ended verse 4 with this statement: having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So this Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh, who is heir of all things, it was by through whom all things were created, who is the one that is the exact representation of God the Father, the one who purified us from our sins, the one who is seated at the right hand of God the Father, he is superior to angels. Now, he's going to give, in this next section, seven statements to show why Jesus is superior to angels. So we're just going to read through these real quickly. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? That's statement number one. Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." That's statement number two. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." That's the third statement. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. There's statement number four. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." Mark that one, because it's really telling as to the very essence and nature of Jesus Christ the Son. "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." And statement number six, "You, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, here's statement number 7, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? So we learned last week 7 characteristics of Jesus Christ the Son. Now we see 7 statements showing why he's superior to the angels. First, he's the very Son of God. To which of the angels did he ever say that? Not one. Not one single angel did he say that you are my son, today I have begotten you. So he's saying that Jesus Christ is of a different essence, a different nature than the angels. Angels were created beings. Jesus is the very nature of God, the exact imprint of his essence. So that's the nature of Jesus Christ. Or again, he says, I will be a father and he shall be a son to me. So there's this relationship. Jesus Christ is the Son. God is his Father. And so when God sends Jesus, he's sending his Son into the world on our behalf. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
To think that God so loves us and so loves you that he would send his very Son. And of this Son, the angels worship. I think that's just amazing. Let all God's angels worship him. And all of these statements are in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And if you've downloaded our study notes, you see where these particular passages are. Most of them are in the book of Psalms. There's one out of 2 Samuel. But the writer is building an argument based on what's been revealed in the Old Testament, and he is saying that all of these statements that were given in the Old Testament really apply to Jesus, to yes. Jesus Christ. So he's superior in the fact that he makes the angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. The angels were at God's beck and call. They are at Jesus's beck and call, and they will change to whatever form they need to be based on God's purposes for them at that very moment. So they have a changeable, flexible nature, but not Jesus. He is unchangeable.
Yeah.
And we continue to see just how wonderful Jesus is, the fact that he is sitting on the throne of David forever as God himself. This is great news, folks. We have Jesus speaking to us, God's very Son.
Absolutely. Well, friends, you're listening to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and of course, this is the second week of our Basic Gospel study on the book of Hebrews. And if you arrived late or if you totally miss any of the live sessions of the study, you can catch up by accessing our program archive under the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, it's great stuff, so let's just keep going.
Well, let's do. So Jesus Christ the Son, God is speaking to us through him today. And I love this in verse 8, where God the Father announces Jesus the Son as God, your throne, O God. If you've ever wondered if Jesus Christ was God in human flesh or is God in human flesh, here's a passage that declares that very clearly. You know, Jesus never said while he was here on earth, I am God. You know, that would have been so simple if he would have just said those words. But he did say that in other ways. Yes. That was relevant to his audience of that day. They understood him loud and clear that he was claiming to be God. But here we have a very black and white announcement. You, O God. Your throne is forever and ever. And he rules from that throne with righteousness. And then he laid the foundation. This last one in verse 10, God, the writer of Hebrews is speaking to the eternal nature of Jesus Christ the Son, the fact that he laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. What does that say about Jesus? That he existed before the creation of the world.
Yes.
And when this world wears out and there's a new one that follows, Jesus is going to remain. The old is going to pass away, but Jesus is going to be here forever. So we can count on his word. If he's eternal in nature, we can count on his word being eternal in nature. And if he is speaking about a salvation for us, we can rest in the fact that this salvation is eternal in nature as well. It's not time-stamped. It's not temporary. It is eternal. That's why it's called eternal life. And then he sits at the right hand of God, waiting until he makes his enemies a footstool for their feet. So this announcement of Jesus, the fact he's at the right hand of God the Father, is a promise of victory over every single enemy. And talk about reassuring, Richard. That gives us some assurance, doesn't it?
Well, you go through this litany of characteristics, and it should leave you speechless.
Yes.
This is the God we serve. This is the Jesus whom that God sent to us, who is God himself, and saved us. And if we had any question as to his superiority over any heavenly being, this should prove it. I was raised thinking that God and Satan were, or Jesus and Satan were kind of equal, battling it out. This says unequivocally that Jesus is so far superior than any angel, good or bad, as to not even be worth a conversation.
No.
This is very God. He loves us.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And that is such a great point, Richard. And I know many people out there listening today, maybe they weren't taught that, but in their minds they're thinking that there is this battle between Jesus and Satan,
yeah.
And who's going to win?
Who's going to win?
We know we've read the end of the book, and we see that Jesus wins, but it's you know, we're not sure. It's just by a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
He ekes it out.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's not the case at all. As you said, he is so far superior that it's not even a conversation. He speaks and the battle is done. That's the power of his word. And so what about these angels? Certainly there is a fascination in this world today concerning angels. I don't know where that fascination comes from, but there is a fascination.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about seeing angels, and, that's just all they talk about. We've had television programs about angels. We've had entire religious systems of thought that have sprung up based on what angels have brought to founders.
Yes.
And so there's this fascination with angels, but here the writer of Hebrews in verse 14 of chapter 1 gives us the nature of angels. He says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" So they are ministering spirits. They are at God's beck and call. They do what God tells them to do. And he sends them out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. They serve us. God
yes.
sends them out to serve us. Now, that's wonderful to know that mm-hmm. that's their purpose, and that's what God created them for, to serve you and I. But that's all they are. They're not to be worshiped. They're not to be glorified. They're not to be exalted. There's only one that sits at the right hand of God the Father. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is the one that is worthy of praise, who is worthy of worship, because his word matters.
Yes.
His word means something. And his word is going to bring to each of us who receive it forgiveness, life, and freedom.
Yeah.
And the angels are a part of God's plan to help us listen closely to to what Jesus has to say.
Well, it's the second session in our series on Hebrews at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. A quick note, and then we'll get back to our study. If you have questions about this study or other topics for that matter, or if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss on an upcoming Basic Gospel program, just call 844-322-2742 and leave us a message, or you can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net, or the 24-hour phone line at 844-322-2742. Now, back to our study.
Well, thanks, Bob. So, God sent Jesus. He's speaking to us through Jesus. Jesus is superior to the angels. We have just a really powerful foundation to rest upon as far as that truth is concerned. And so, the writer of Hebrews is going to say, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. So if God has spoken to us in the past through the prophets, and he wanted people to listen to the prophets, how much more should we pay attention to the word that's being delivered to us today through Jesus Christ the Son? So we want to pay closer attention to what he has said, lest we drift away. Now, here's the reason why. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? So the prophets of old were declaring promises. They were building into the people of Israel a hope, an expectation, and moving them to anticipate someone who was to come in the future. That person was Jesus. Well, now he's here.
Yeah.
And he is delivering to us a great salvation. Now, that word that was delivered back then, if people rejected it, there were consequences. How much greater will be the consequences to those who reject the salvation that is being offered in Jesus Christ the Son? Now, it's interesting, he says, for since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable. Richard, let's talk a little bit as to what that means. What was the message that was delivered to us by the angels? What's he talking about there?
There's actually several times when angels show up in the Old Testament to talk about things with people, and it demonstrates completely what the writer said. They are ministering spirits. They're sent here to help us do what? Focus on, in the Old Testament case, the coming Messiah. We see it in Revelation. John is given this message about the conquering Messiah. And he keeps falling down at the angel's feet. And the angel says, no, 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 no. That is not correct. Worship God. And so the angels in the Old Testament always brought this message concerning the coming Messiah. And it always bore fruit if the people listened. And in particular, we see in a couple of places, and especially here in Galatians 3, that they actually brought the law to Moses. God was certainly there. God is the lawgiver. But God used angels to mediate that. And we can read about it in Galatians 3:19. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. Having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. So God was using angels to serve us. And even in the case of the Mosaic Covenant, which is the big contrast here, you know, Jesus is superior. Even in the case of the Mosaic Covenant, angels were serving us. They were helping God on our behalf mediate this law into reality. And if we followed the law the way it was supposed to be followed, we would be looking forward to the Messiah. The question, of course, was, did they ever follow the law like it was intended? The answer is no. There were a few people that got it, you know, but nobody got it all the time, and certainly the whole nation didn't. But angels kept telling them and telling them and telling them and telling them. what a gracious thing of God to do on our behalf.
Right. So here was this law that was delivered, as Stephen said, as he is working through the history of Israel, trying to give a defense for his ministering and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks had seized him and brought him before the council, and the high priest said, "Are these things true?" And so he gives this stinging history of the people of Israel. And he says, "You've been stiff-necked. You've rejected the Holy Spirit since the very beginning." And this law that was delivered by the angels, you did not keep it.
Yeah.
You did not keep it. And so they experience consequences as a result of their disobedience to the law. And now we have someone that is greater than the angels who is delivering the complete message of salvation through his death, his burial, his resurrection. So we need to pay closer attention to that, because the consequences of rejecting Jesus' offer of life are so much more severe than the consequences of being disobedient to the law. So the wages of sin is death. Sin, as far as God is concerned, is unbelief in Jesus. And when we reject this offer of life that's in Jesus, the only consequence left is eternal death, eternal separation from God the Father. That's not the heart of God. If it was, he would have never sent Jesus Christ the Son. This is such an important message to God the Father that he sent his Son to deliver it to us, to deliver it to us in such a way that we would pay attention, that we would receive Jesus Christ himself as our very life, which is better, better than anything else the world has to offer, better than anything else the law could have offered us. This is better in every way possible. And it was so important, listen to this, it was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
Yeah.
So this gospel message, when Jesus was declaring, "I am the resurrection and the life," what did he do to underscore that? He raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, "Come out." Why? To show that he indeed was the resurrection and the life. When he said, "It is finished," and he breathed his last, man, that was attended by an earthquake, an earth-shaking moment. God saying, "This is my Son. Listen to him." Why? Because he is bringing to you so great a salvation. That's the good news of the gospel.
That's good stuff, Bob and Richard, and thank you so much for sharing these thoughts and for preparing the information that you were able to give over the airwaves today. Well, friends, we're glad that you're with us for this study edition of Basic Gospel through the book of Hebrews. And since this will be an ongoing study, if you miss any of the sessions along the way, you can always access the program archive through the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. And friends, please keep in mind that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. Your gifts through this ministry will mean that not only will you hear the good news, but others will be able to hear, live, and believe the life-changing truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his love, his grace, and his life. To make a gift to Basic Gospel, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click that donate button, or phone 844-322-2742. We would love for you to partner with us in the best news the world will ever hear, the good news of the gospel of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Keep in mind also that we stream live video of each day's broadcast through YouTube and Facebook, and we encourage you to use either of those channels and join us inside the studio. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again on Monday after a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.